With the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name's Josh Nason. It is Sunday, July 20th. We come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, all of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM. If you don't know what that means, again, kids, ask your parents. iHeart, tune in. All kinds of other apps. Everywhere you get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice, and I give thanks for that. Special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. Tonight, boy, what a show we have for you. I'm going to be with you for the next hour to talk about all kinds of things. And while it wasn't as busy as last weekend with five major shows in 3 days, we survived it, you and I, we did. We have a lot to talk about tonight, including a full look at tonight's TNA Slammiversary. Could be happening by the time you listen to this. Could it be over by the time you listen to this? Who knows? But I'll talk about tonight's Slammiversary and kind of a bigger look at the state of TNA and their relationship with WWE. And where does TNA want to be? I've been kind of paying attention to a lot of the news this week. Give you some thoughts there. AEW Collision, of course, happened last night. Chat about the Fallout show from All In and my thought on Fallout shows in general. How's this WWE SummerSlam card looking to you? We'll chat about that after the developments of Friday SmackDown. Goldberg, my guy Goldberg. A little bit of controversy this week. I love it. We'll chat about that in full. My thoughts and the furor after he dare spoke against WWE. Pat McAfee made a good decision for him and his family. Talked about it. I'm very interested in that story. Wrestling agents going rogue on social media. Why does anyone do this on social media these days? We'll chat about that. All kinds of other stuff as well. A ton to get to. So all that and more await you. Let's stick around for the next hour, shall we? On Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be right back after these very important messages. Wrestling Observer Live. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live for a Sunday, July 20th. My name is Josh Nason. It is TNA Sunday, friends. Not that kind of TNA. I swear, not that kind of TNA. Yeah, the pro wrestling kind of TNA, because tonight the company runs the very big UBS Arena on Long Island. Yes, on Long Island. I was corrected about that years ago when I made a mistake saying in Long Island. But it's a 20,000-seat barn, big place. And I got to give them credit for tonight's Slammiversary. They've actually done a pretty good job selling some seats. Now, there's a few reasons for that we'll talk about. But overall, I think they've surprised me. I think if you were to ask Carlos Silva, the TNA president and the head of Anthem Sports Division, I think if you were to ask him, would you do this again? He'd probably say, I would have made this choice. Now, I say that because this decision to run the UBS was made before he was brought into office. It was 8 months ago when they announced they're running New York and Los Angeles. And he was brought in December, so it happened. That decision preceded him. I'm going to guess he would have done a smaller building, 10,000. 20,000 is very lofty goals, but hey, sometimes you got to shoot your shot. I don't know what the previous leadership was thinking. Maybe the rent was that cheap or something like that. I'm not really sure. But here we are. They're running a big venue tonight. And as of the last check, it was over 6,400 tickets out. That's really good. In a 20,000-seat building, you know, it'll be interesting how they film it and so on. But believe me, people have had plenty of experience doing this. You know, AEW, when they were running in 2023, 2024, when they were running these giant NBA arenas and drawing, you know, 2,000 people, 25, maybe 3, maybe less. And you could tell it was just a canyon when it came to sound and all that. So TNA certainly can learn a few lessons from them. But one of the things, you know, we'll talk about the card in a minute. One of the things that really stood out to me this week was the emergence of Carlos Silva. Carlos Silva, as I mentioned, he's the head of TNA and the Hat Man, the new Hat Man with that that classic TNA wrestling hat, which is very expensively. You can buy it on TNA's website, and it's not cheap, not cheap. Because I looked at buying one, I'll admit that. But Carlos Silva has definitely been out and about, and he's loving it. He is out there and loving it, like a George Costanza or Kramer used to say back in the day. And he's been out there doing all the interviews. He's on Ariel Helwani's show, and he's able to finally get some attention, be the belle of the ball. Now, he did stuff with like World Series of Fighting back in the day. He's done a bunch of things, but I don't think he's done anything like this where he's able to really just kind of talk this thing up and be the center of attention and people actually wanting to talk to him. Has he been out there more than some of his stars? I guess it could be argued. I've seen more stuff from Silva than other people, but maybe, you know, people are more interested in the business side of things and those type of matters rather than the talent themselves who are going to do interviews and kind of say the same things. Perhaps, who knows? But Carlos Silva is out there and loving it. He is, and what one thing I think you might see happen, I think Carlos may have got the wrestling bug this week. It may have bit him. Because he was asked about if he'd ever be in an in-ring angle or take a bump. He said, never say never. And that was that's the gateway drug, is that attention kind of seeps over. Like, well, if I can do this in interviews, what if I became a character? And I have this feeling, if TNA is still a thing a year from now, which I'm assuming will be, depending on who owns them and all that, we'll talk about that too. I'm going to guess that he is some sort of on-screen character by the time Slamversary comes around next year. So put a pin in that one. But what is, you know, one of the things that I thought about a lot this week as well is the TNA and WWE relationship. And kind of what does Silva want out of this? Ultimately, would they just love to sell and be done with it? They said, I believe Carlos Silva said in one of the interviews that TNA is not making money or they run at a loss. And so that, you know, the TV deal he's looking forward to, you know, $10 million a year or so on. Like, how, what do they want? They just want to be done with this. If WWE offered them $5 million, $2.5 million, $3 million for it, would they just say, we're good? What does WWE get out of that? You know, that they couldn't get already. That's something I'm curious about. But one of the things that I've noticed, and I'd love to see them get away from is, and this will really kind of tell you the answer. Can they survive without WWE? In that this show has Trick Williams, who is a TNA wrestler. I'm sorry, an NXT wrestler and a TNA wrestler, but NXT, former NXT champion. You have JC Jane on the show. You have Dark State on the show. And for the most part, since this partnership has been announced, there's been a lot of NXT and TNA back and forth. NXT can survive without TNA on their shows. They have enough talent and so on. But can TNA survive without WWE? Now, we know this partnership is multi-years, but does that mean every single week this is what we're going to see? All their PLEs or their streaming shows and what have you? Do they want to be away from it? And can they survive on their own? Because for TNA, I mean, when you have their wrestlers come over from NXT, you've seen a lot of them already on NXT TV. It's not necessarily special. And to me, TNA does not have the level of stars and the level of must-see matches that you're going to be like, wow, this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing or something that you really didn't know you want to see. I don't even really know if that exists in wrestling other than, you know, a WWE, AEW back and forth. But if WWE simply, you know, wants these talents, I mean, like, we all know Joe Hendry's going to WWE when his deal is up. Mike Santana apparently could be next up. Who knows about Masha Slamovich? But some of these talents, they seem to really, they're just like, well, we'll just bring them over here. Is that what TNA wants? Do they want to be able to run at the end of this deal? Do they want to be able to be independent from WWE, have their TV deal, and say, we'll do it if it makes sense? Are they want to be confident enough to get to that level where they'd be like, we can be the major third, the third company? I know they've said they can be the second. I think that's really hard to believe if we're being honest with ourselves. The third company, could they run independent like they used to before these deals happened? And maybe they're like, well, we tried that for two decades and it didn't work. We got to do something to stay alive. And this is what we're going to do. So that is caught my attention. Carlos Silva's caught my attention. And I think he's going to do an in-ring angle. And also, do they want to be still with WWE no matter what? And this is their only lifeline to stay alive. What, and, you know, a lot of people speculate, you know, WWE could buy them. What are they buying, though? Because you're buying contracts, IP, a video library, and some rings. You know, they don't need wrestling rings, right? The IP, it's there. You swallow up another company. And the contracts for everyone, you can pretty much just, again, with Joe Hendry and with Mike Santana or Masha or anyone, you can just wait. And when they become free agents, you can just buy them. So they don't, I don't know why they would do that. So then the video library and the IP, let's talk about the video library. They don't seem to be really into video libraries now. And I think the archive content, I think that era of like everything being available no matter what, that's changed a lot in the streaming era and what people watch and how far people want to go back and watch. It is really hard to go back and watch old stuff when there is hours and hours to get to in a given week, unless you just want to commit your whole life to watching wrestling. That's a sad life. No offense. I love watching wrestling, but I like watching other stuff because then when I get to wrestling, it makes it feel more special. And that's the whole point. So why would they buy them? Just swallow them up? If they bought them just to be a third company, just to maybe kind of like throw some slings and arrows at TNA and be or at AEW and be another thorn in their side, I guess. But why wouldn't you just do it at NXT or just make a new WWE show? So I have so many questions about this relationship and where things are going to end up. But TNA is celebrating tonight. We'll get after this break. We're going to get to looking at a little bit at the card. And then we'll look at last night's AEW Collision, which continued this trend of, you know, not being the best follow-up shows to pay-per-view. Something Brian Alvarez mentioned earlier this week and completely stole my thunder, you know, unintentionally. But, you know, I want a little bit more excitement this week. So we'll talk about that. We got some thoughts on Bill Goldberg coming up in a few minutes and all kinds of other stuff as well. We had a packed show. Stick around. Wrestling Observer Live coming right back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. Let's get into looking at the TNA Slammiversary card. Then we'll get into some AEW Collision from Saturday and all the things that happened and so on. Let's see. I guess we should leave with AJ Styles, right? AJ Styles is going to be on this show. He, of course, a major TNA star way back in the day. And if you go back in their archive, I mean, I did the story for our website when it was officially announced on Thursday. And I was, I watched him back in the day. I remember I had, and hopefully the FBI doesn't raid my house. I had one of those black boxes for a run. I felt guilty about it every single time I used it. I was afraid that this is how crazy it was. I was afraid that, you know, I was going to get a knock on the door middle of the night or something like that. And so I started using it and I stopped using it. It was just a complete cowardice for me to get this thing. So I guess I'm an honest guy. But yeah, so I was that's a long way to say I used to watch the weekly pay-per-views that TNA ran. NWA TNA every Wednesday night, back the true Wednesday Night Wars. And yeah, AJ was then. And again, there's a lot less wrestling to watch on TV. And so he obviously stood out. I mean, he was there for the better part of 13 years, I think, give or take. So maybe 11, 12, 13 years. Can't remember what the number is. But he's coming back, and they've been teasing this all week. And there was no question. I mean, you can't say phenomenal and kind of lean into this without actually, you know, without actually coming through. If they didn't come through, that'd be pretty sad. But yeah, he's going to be on a show, except we don't know what he's going to be doing. Is he going to be wrestling? Is it just an appearance? So there's a lot of intrigue there because they didn't announce that. You know, he could just come out and do an in-ring promo and do some sort of segment, but, you know, his WWE one doing match, they care. He hasn't wrestled since June, like mid-June. So I don't know what the deal is, but it'll be newsworthy. It'll be noteworthy, I'm sure. And of course, their biggest stage of the year. So, I mean, you're going to have that many people in. I'm sure people bought tickets because of him. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he gets involved in the main event somehow. And that main event is, of course, for the NXT title because Trick Williams is involved. The TNA world title. This is how that relationship is so intertwined that you can't tell the difference between NXT and TNA. But Trick Williams putting the TNA world title on the line against Joe Hendry and Mike Santana. I think everyone assumes that Mike Santana is going to come out of this the winner. He's made his way to NXT TV, doing more interviews. It's in New York. I'd be hugely surprised if he was not in this show coming up. In just a few hours' time. Of course, you have Masha Slamovich against JC Jane, a winner-take-all match for the Knockouts title and the NXT Women's title. I am very intrigued by how this plays out. I think you have to do a finish, and I think if Mike Santana is winning the title, a TNA guy taking back to TNA, I don't think TNA wants a world right now where they don't have an NXT person holding one of their top two titles. I think JC Jane is going to win this. I think she's going to hold both titles. And you're going to be able to, again, keep that relationship going because I think they want it too bad. And I think they're like, this is part of us now, and we're just going to give off part of the book to NXT, and so it's going to happen. So I think for poor Masha Slamovich, I think JC Jane is going to have that championship. And can you imagine if down the road Mariah May holds both the NXT and Knockouts title? If there's, maybe it's just a unified title. They do something like that. That would be the next step, right? We have a four-way ladder match for the NXT World Tag Team titles. The Nemeths taking on the Hardys, the Rascals, and of course, First Class. I don't have any read on this, but I think for the biggest show of the year in a ladder match, I think I'd give this to the Hardys. We have Mustafa Ali taking on the debuting Cedric Alexander. Should be pretty good. These two guys wrestled in WWE way back in the day, and it was a good match. It was on actually a WrestleMania card. I believe it was on either pre-show or early in that show. But yeah, this was a lot of people looking forward to this. I think Cedric's first match in, or his first big appearance, first big match. I think he'll give it to Cedric. Tessa Blanchard taking on Indy Hartwell. And then I have no read on that. Indy, of course, has been in the group for a couple months. Tessa Blanchard, maybe Victoria Crawford screws her over and Tessa picks up the win. Really don't know. Are they inching Tessa closer to maybe getting back in the title picture again? Imagine her on NXT TV. That'd be a big story. So we'll see what happens there. We have NXT's Dark State taking on Matt Cardona and The System. And we also have Moose defending the X Division title against Leon Slater. Seems like a good time for Leon Slater to get the title there. And a true X Division wrestler and some excitement and so on. I think that's a good move. And of course, have the Elegance brand taking on the Inspiration, defending the Knockouts tag team titles. I'd not be surprised to see the Inspiration win here. It's on the pre-show. And then we have, this is very random. Steve Macklin, Jake Something, and Mance Warner taking on three guys that have feuded over Macklin's international title, taking on from Fourth Rope, which I assume it's just their group. I apologize for not knowing the background. I kind of got distracted by the fact of who's in the group. We have Josh Bishop, Enzo Amore, Real One, and Zilla Fatu. Zilla Fatu making his TNA debut. And I didn't really think about this until now, that this is kind of Zilla's, this is his first, he was in GCW for a while, but this is his first kind of edge into a bigger group. And of course, the bigger group is affiliated with WWE, or as you know, the Bloodline, all those things as well. So this could be, he could be on a WWE ID contract. I don't know. If not, then why isn't AEW signed him? Because I think if you've seen Zilla Fatu in person and his presence, he is I would say a no doubter, but he's really good. He's very good, very entertaining, very intense. And I don't know how AEW has not gone after. Maybe they're just worried about this cost of Bloodline comparison and so on and so forth. But this is Zilla's kind of, I think, the first step towards his ascension into WWE and NXT. That'll be a moment. And yeah, so this is overall, a solid show. You have, again, the WWE influence of Trick Williams, JC Jane, and Dark State. We'll see if anyone else runs out. Of course, AJ Styles, major WWE influence on this show, and so forth. So we'll see how this turns out. But it could be happening tonight on pay-per-view. You can follow along with our coverage on WrestlingObserver.com. Live coverage, news, and all those things as well. Let's talk about AEW Collision, which happened last night, taped show. And this was taped on in Chicago after Dynamite, if I can get to my notes. And this was kind of the bigger issue. And Brian actually, Alvarez, talked this on Wrestling Observer Live, which you may have heard on this very network earlier this week. If not, there's a clip on YouTube that I caught. And his feeling is that very similar to mine, and has been for quite some time, that their follow-up shows to pay-per-views just don't have that ugh. They're like, this past Wednesday's Dynamite was entertaining. It was started kind of some storylines and see where some things are going and so on and so forth. But it didn't have that real hook as far as here's where the next big things are going. And that big thing to make you be like, oh man, here we go. And WWE for years. I think their fallout shows, aftermath shows are good. And I'm probably just beholden to that era. And even now they're better. But looking at like the fallout show was so much, so much more entertaining, and just was it was like, okay, here's where we're going next. You get you excited. The fallout shows for AEW, both Dynamite and Collision, didn't really get me excited for what's next. It's kind of like, and in recent history, usually it's like the week after that does something. At least they had the world champion on the show. And I remember during like the MJF run, he would defend the title and wasn't on that Monday show other than like a backstage vignette, which was taped after the pay-per-view. And you usually have to wait 1 or 2 weeks before he came back. And obviously we had the Death Riders and they were on all the time. And it just felt like, okay, we're doing more, the Death Riders thing is still a thing. And you can see some where they're hinting towards some things and, it's going to be this Jon Moxley gun shy, but of course he attacked Colt Cabana last night. So maybe that's already kind of out the window on Collision. That's setting up Hangman Page versus Wheeler Yuta this Wednesday. We have all of two matches announced for Wednesday. Hangman Page versus Wheeler Yuta. And then we have, of course, Tony Storm taking on Billy Starks. If Billy Starks wins, she earns a future world title match, which Athena did not like that happened on AEW Collision. Last night we had Alex Windsor and Tekla officially announces under AEW contracts. And Alex Windsor is taking on Athena for the Ring of Honor Women's World title on next Saturday's Collision, or this Saturday's Collision rather. So that's coming up. And we already knew they were under contracts, but just kind of a story. And that was kind of really about it, other than Ring of Honor Death Before Dishonor moving their date for the second time. The last Friday in August versus the first Friday in September. No real reason given. Tickets had not even gone on sale yet, so you don't have to like refund people or anything like that. So it's just a shift. So not a ton of Collision. Yeah, Dynamite I just thought was, it just felt kind of lame. And it was, again, it wasn't a bad show, but you kind of look for those hooks that get you interested in the next big thing. What is that next big thing? It really didn't have that. But the in-ring action is always good. The in-ring stuff, it is always, a 10 out of 10. But I say, for a weekly TV show, if you're really into the in-ring stuff, which obviously AEW fans are, and I enjoy it as well, you can't really complain, And the CMLL inclusion has been good. So now we have the build, of course, to Forbidden Door. And that's always kind of curious and tricky because you're building towards your own programs and you're trying to, get to the climax point, but you still have other promotions you have to involve and you have to get their talent more on shows because you're trying to build to this big kind of crossover pay-per-view. However, in the G1 and in New Japan, the G1's happening right now. So you don't really have access to those people. The timing is always tricky. So I'm very interested to see how the build is for this year and a lot more. Goldberg. I got to talk about Goldberg coming up in just a few minutes. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason coming right back after this. Back with you in Wrestling Observer Live for a Sunday. My name is Josh Nason. If you tuned in late, listening on Sports Byline or iHeart or one of the apps, did a preview of TNA Slammiversary. We talked about AEW Collision. We talked about the state of TNA. And what else we talk about? A few other things as well. You always check out the archives at WrestlingObserver.com if you're a subscriber. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, $10 a month there if you just want to listen to audio only, or in Sports Byline. Obviously, you check us out every single day at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, or something like that, 10 a.m. Pacific, these time zones. And then you're listening to this now at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Sports Byline. Big thanks to them, and thanks to all you, wherever you're listening in the world, let me know. Josh Nason on Twitter, /X, or Blue Sky, JOSHNASON. Let's get into a few quick hit items. Got a lot left to talk about, including Goldberg. Yes, Bill Goldberg, my guy, retired last Saturday night officially. Well, maybe not officially. Saturday night's main event, losing to Gunther. And there was a lot of questions afterwards. Seth Rollins' injury, knee injury at work? Was something going to happen? And I won't get into that because it's a whole other conversation that's been talked about to death. But I want to talk about Goldberg because he talked to Ariel Helwani, which apparently is a good friend of his, apparently in their conversation, talked to him on Arrow show on Monday, I do believe, Monday or Tuesday. And Arrow was asking about, of course, the match and everything. And old Bill wasn't happy. He's going to talk more in 2 weeks, which will be essentially, I believe he has a contract that runs through the end of July. It could be just before that or whatever he is. So he's saying 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I'm going to say a lot more. But he did say a lot. And to paraphrase everything, not happy with how things went down with WB. He thought his match, he was hoping to be in a PLE to get more time. So it was short. He was upset about, as I was, Bill and I, you know, we share a haircut and we also share our opinions of the fact that his promo was at the end of his speech. So he got, you know, 29 seconds, whatever it was, 38. And he thought it should have got a lot more. And, you know, he I guess he said, if I remember this right, say he knew it was going to go online after. And I believe it. So I was complaining last week. It wasn't on YouTube. Finally, it got put up during at some point, maybe early evening or maybe late afternoon. I had missed it. But last check, it had like almost 1 million views. So that's almost as good, if not better, maybe what it might have got on Saturday night's main event. Of course, you have, you know, your broadcast numbers and all that. But I understand what he's upset about. And he didn't like, he had known about the match for a while, but he didn't like that the promotion lasted, you know, all 3 weeks leading up to it. And essentially hinted that, you know, in principle, I believe is the term, he says he's retired, but he was not happy with how things went down. And he said he's going to have a lot more to say about the situation again when his, assuming his contract is officially up. And I assume maybe on his car cast, or I'm not sure how he's going to do it. But I'm very fascinated by this for so many reasons. The main one is that no one ever speaks out about WWE like this unless you've left the company or, you know, like a Ricochet who's kind of doing it as a get a little bit of attention for himself, but also because he gets hit up by WWE trolls online all the time. So he's having some fun with it, as much fun as I guess you being on social media is. But Goldberg, he isn't going out there tweeting or saying stuff. He said what he said, and he's going to say a lot more. And you never hear them. You never hear people talk about WWE like this because they don't want to go that far away from the trough. They want to go stay on the ranch. And then when it's time, maybe make an appearance. They want to be on that call list. If you're a veteran, so many veterans are like this. And I understand why, because a lot didn't make any money or just did not make the money you would hope they would make during their careers. So what are they going to do? They want to be involved with the biggest and baddest in the game, which is WWE, the most amount of money. And we'll see what happens with Goldberg, but he doesn't need WWE. He doesn't want to need WWE. And he even said his son, he told his son to turn down an NIL deal because of the money. Son's going to be a football player, or is a football player, college football player, and potential pro wrestler. Goldberg did not exactly say that that wouldn't happen in WWE, but, you know, again, who knows when we get to that point. But he's just not a fan of how things went down. Can things be smoothed over? Of course. Is there really an incentive for, like, a Paul Levesque to do that? Probably not. Is there one for Nick Khan to do? It all depends how much money he thinks he can make off it. What's the value? But Goldberg is fine with that. We'll see what he says in a couple weeks. But my kind of going on social media, the week in social media, which is just, it's so awful to be on. So I'm not going to talk too much about it. But of course, what happened? All these media outlets that are very WB friendly, I would say, came out and just started ripping on Goldberg. Like the Peter Rosenberg types, let's see, Busted Open Radio, which is very, a lot of WWE personnel, affiliate personnel on there. They do, you know, they fare on some things, and I think maybe lean WWE on other things. Dave LaGreca, ripping on Goldberg. You had plenty of other people online, but it seemed like it was, the call was out, so to speak, to rip on Goldberg for what he said, and he should be thankful and all these things. If he had said that about AEW, would the same things have happened? The same people? Would Peter Rosenberg have come on and on his Twitter and say the same things? And would all these people say, oh, he should just be thankful AEW gave him a shot? I don't think so. So it just follows along party lines, which everything does on social these days. So it was, look, he should be upset. If he thinks that he was done dirty, he has the right to say it. And I'm sorry if you're a WWE fan and that doesn't jive with your party agenda. That's just the way it goes. It'd be the same thing if he was with AEW and he said the same thing. And the AEW people came after him and ripped him and did all these things. It's the same thing. But the whole party lines thing that we're at now is that if he's on your side or against your side, that's where your opinion goes. There's no independent thought. But yeah, he should be upset. What was he promised? I don't know. Did WWE maybe say, I don't know about that, but we'll see. But I'm fascinated by the fact someone actually that does not need WWE to make a living, has a ton of money, has a lot of other interests and a lot of other things that he's doing and a lot of other friends outside the space, and he doesn't need wrestling. He was just like, yeah, I didn't like how it went down, and good for him in doing that. We need more honesty, no matter what side of the aisle that you're on. Speak of more honesty, Pat McAfee. I'm not the biggest Pat McAfee fan. I appreciate what he's done. He's the right guy for the right time for this culture, for this, I'll say bro culture. I'm not looking down at it. I'm 47. I'm far beyond the bro culture, but I'm sure I was when I was in college. You know, this would have been my wheelhouse, of course, but life is different. Everything is different as you grow older and what you are interested in, what you're not, and so on. And this, Pat McAfee came out and he was open about why he's essentially done with WWE for now, and not like a free agent, I don't think, or anything like that, but essentially he got burnt out. And I read this thing, and again, I'm not the biggest fan of Pat McAfee on commentary, but I appreciate the fact that he, as a multi-millionaire, that he was able to recognize that he was just taking on too much, and he was willing to say, I can't do this. And he said that to WWE without fear of being like he's going to be forgotten. He's confident enough in his own life, his own accomplishments, and his own stature in the culture that he can say, you know what? I'm good. I'm good for now, and this is why. And it wasn't anything to do with WWE. It's just he's doing too many things. And that's going to happen anyway. No matter how much money you make, and you don't want to tell people no, and you don't want to do all these things, but you just say it's done. And he said, I felt it. I started feeling it. And he detailed it. And he's like, I was cooked. Another part of this too is he's a father of a young kid. You know, you only get that shot once. And for him to recognize that, I thought that was big of him or good of him and showing a little bit of maturity there. So we'll see. He'll be back, obviously, at some point. He's not not going to be a free agent. And also good for him. There's two other Pat McAfee things of note. What did he say? He said one thing. He actually tweeted support of Adam Cole last week, which I thought was a really cool move considering the whole stupid AEW versus AEW quote unquote war. They have this whole thing, and I thought that was really classy of him to do. And one thing he mentioned in his promo when he was talking about why he had to leave and just the burnout factor and all stuff, that he put in all this work into it, and that he said something to the effect of, I know wrestling fans don't believe this. And you could tell he was feeling the heat from the online commentary about his commentary about maybe how he was not putting in the work. And he says, you know, I was putting everyone over and doing my best, and I know wrestling fans didn't believe this. And that, even the big stars, they get hurt by this stuff. They really do. It's like, why do you even bother looking at it? Why do you even bother? I don't know. But good on Pat McAfee. Really quick, I want to go over the SummerSlam card. Actually, one thing about social as I pull this up. I noticed I was stunned, baffled this week. There's an agent, so a head of the Paradigm Sports Agency, Nick La something. I can't remember. And I saw this, Dave Meltzer, who has his own issues with social media. I've known Dave for 15 plus years, and I've told him, like, dude, this is ridiculous. I know other people have as well. But Dave was kind of going at it with somebody about AEW stuff, and it was an agent from the head of Paradigm Sports, Nick something, something. And basically this agent, who was legit, I was wondering if it was a fake account or something like that. So he represents CM Punk, Rusev, I think Tiffany Stratton, like a bunch of other WWE people, just WWE, I believe. And also Eric Bischoff, which that kind of starting to get the picture there. Some UFC people, Bruce Buffer rather, and so on. And this agent is just like ripping on AEW and saying that they're not, the AEW is not leveraged. That was one reply to somebody. And of course, the pro AEW people really coming after him. And And Dave was trying to check him on some numbers, something like that. And this guy, for a solid week, became an AEW troll like everyone else. And I'm like, is this really happening? An agent, I thought the point was to get their money, get their client as much money as possible, no matter what. And you just play sides against each other. But he doesn't see AEW as leverage. He's using social media as a platform to become some of these other people who are faceless, nameless, and all they do, and all the classic anti-AEW people, you should see on social that this is all they do every single day. And there's, and on both sides, it's like this. And he's just ripping on AEW. I was so surprised. Like, I thought about way more than I should have. Not for I can't believe he's doing this, because I'll have a dog in that fight. But in the sense of, I can't believe he's doing this. Like, I've never seen an agent do this. I can't picture Scott Boras ripping on, like, the Miami Marlins. Scott Boras, an MLB agent, or being like, you know, this team's a joke and the Miami Marlins are not leveraged. He may think this, but he's not going to say it publicly. And then I can't, you know, Drew Rosenhaus, a big NFL agent, I can't picture him saying that. I was so stunned by this. And then he eventually came around and he said, his problem wasn't with AEW. His problem was with Dave Meltzer. So everything comes around, goes around, and it just comes back on Dave. And he wants to have Eric Bischoff fight him or something like this. And just, it's the playbook. Social media is just the absolute, it is just the absolute worst. And if you're doing media stuff, there's a part of you that has to be on it and aware of it. And it just, it's super depressing. Why do people get on? I can see why people, so many people just kind of abandon it or they move to a different platform. The same stuff is going to follow you no matter where. But that kind of ruined my SummerSlam preview, and we're running out of time. After this break, we get back. We're going to look at the week ahead. There'll be plenty of time to talk about SummerSlam, frankly. But yeah, the week ahead, previewing, and hopefully getting off social media. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Come right back after this. All right, Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Final segment on this beautiful Sunday, July 20th. Let's look at the week ahead, sponsored by nobody. If you want to sponsor this, just let me know. So TNA Slamversary, of course, coming up tonight, being Sunday the 20th. And then we have WWE Raw coming up on Monday, NXT on Tuesday. And Tuesday, I'm sure it's kind of the follow-up. It's like it's the fallout edition of Slamversary because of all the NXT talent involved on that show. We'll see. I fully expect JC Jane to be there with her two titles in hand and Trick Williams to be with no title. AEW Dynamite, of course, coming up this Wednesday. As of this recording, only two matches announced, which is, again, I know they're in Chicago, it's a small venue, but boy, just these shows, man, I just do not understand why there's not cards listed. Like, if you're planning out stuff ahead of time, it just, I do not get it. I do not get it. Thursday, of course, you have both Ring of Honor and TNA Impact, of course, the fall edition from Slamversary. And then we also have SmackDown coming up on Friday on TNA TV taping. I believe this Thursday might be a live edition of Impact. I have to check that. But yeah, then of course, SmackDown coming up on Friday, TNA TV taping, and then Saturday Collision. And then we get back into it. Yeah, we're just more than a week away from just almost 2 weeks away from SummerSlam. How about that? Two nights coming up. And of course, Cena versus Rhodes. We had a steel cage match set up between Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. We have all types of other stuff as well. So the card, it looks like a very WWE card. Jelly Roll, musician Jelly Roll, going to be teaming up with Randy Orton to take on Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. I guess Jelly Roll's been putting in the work. He's at the PC all day. He's been there all day for weeks and weeks and weeks. So we'll track more about Mr. Roll in the weeks ahead. We'll see what media he does and so on and so forth. But that does it for this show. Thank you for joining me. This has been a great episode. I'll be back next Sunday in some form or fashion. You'll hear me here on Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. And again, big thanks to you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live.